I am here with John and Kathy Mezoff, who will be speaking to me today about the Mexico Health Security Campaign, the Health Security Act. The New Mexico State Legislature is, I assume, getting very close to considering this as a viable issue to discuss for legislation. And on a national scale, as many listeners know, the GOP is hoping to undo everything that was in place for the Affordable Care Act, or what was called Obamacare. So, first, welcome, Kathy and John.
Thank you.
Thank you.
What brought you to the table on this particular issue? Why are you interested in the New Mexico Health Security Act, for state residents at least?
Well, as a retired physician, I have been in the middle of problems with insurance and problems in our county with uninsured people. And I would look to the Health Security Act as a mechanism for covering all residents of the state of New Mexico. And that is a big thing for me. The secondary from the provider's point of view is it would be much simpler. And from the state's point of view, it would save much money.
My understanding is that this is being proposed as not a supplement to any national health plan, but rather a statewide alternative and replacement for any nationwide plan.
I'm not real clear on that. It could be proposed as a supplement to Medicare and not replace Medicare. I think the idea is that it would replace Medicaid, but I'm not sure. Those are details that need to be worked out. But for people not on Medicaid or Medicare, or people that have some sort of federal insurance, this would be their medical insurance. And it would have to include the people that run the program would have to have the insurance.
And would individual taxpayers in the state of New Mexico actually have a certain amount of money designated for the New Mexico statewide health coverage, or would they actually have to enroll just like they currently enroll for
There's no enrollment.
Okay.
They are, by virtue of being a state resident, would be part of the program. So there's no opting in and opting out. People that have other programs, like I mentioned before, would not be included unless they wanted to be and they could opt in.
And for a resident to be included in the coverage offered by the New Mexico Health Security Act, would they need to qualify as citizens? Are undocumented workers considered under this plan?
I looked at that question and when I read the document that's being proposed, and it said residents of the state of New Mexico. And I have not asked Mary Feldblum what that means. In other countries, if you are visiting England as an American citizen and you become ill, you are covered by their system. So that's one model.
And while we had a discussion around this when Mary Feldblum was here, why would this be more cost-effective than current national plans?
Partly because it would change the role of insurance companies fairly drastically. Insurance companies are for profit, and there is so much bureaucracy, so much medical hassle dealing with insurance companies, that if a lot of that bureaucracy would go away, formularies, your insurance doesn't cover that, you must find another medicine, some of those kinds of things. It could save tremendous amounts of money.
And as I understand it, when Mary Feldblum and others were looking at establishing this New Mexico Security Act and campaign, looking at plans in Massachusetts, and while it won't directly be the same as, say, the Canadian healthcare system, it would pay health providers directly rather than a socialized system. It would indeed eliminate that middleman, if you will, of the insurance companies?
Well, there has to be someone to collect the fees and pay the bills. And I think this is all after the groundwork of the bill is passed, then these are details to work out. I would see the insurance companies as a non-profit entity doing billing and paying, because they have those mechanisms already set up. The problem is that they extract profit for their stockholders. And in other developed countries, that is not so. They have insurance, medical insurance in France, Germany, and England, but they're non-profit. And they compete on the basis of service. But the fees and the premiums are set.
How would you hope that the New Mexico system would look a couple of years after it had been enacted? How do you think it would work for the average consumer, health consumer, who is going to have a condition, is going to be seen by a doctor? How would it look for the health providers?
What I would like to see is that all residents in the categories that we talked about have a medical card, okay? And the card has a chip in it. And they go to their doctor, give the doctor the card. The chip has their medical record in it. And so that means that the files, the computer systems, the back office staff go away. They hand the card to the doctor. The doctor takes care of the patient, and all the billing information is in there. What insurance company that patient subscribes to, who's been paid. They push a couple buttons, the new medical stuff is uploaded, and the doctor's paid right there on a set formulation.
And so we're talking about RFID technology. Would that information be backed up in a way that if someone lost their card?
So it would have to be.
Yeah.
And it has to be also concealed somehow. I'm blocking on the word, but coded, so that if you picked the card up off the sidewalk, you couldn't read it.
It leads to all sorts of options, of course. For someone with disabilities, it might be possible that the RFID chip could be incorporated in a way that wouldn't require them to physically have to get it out.
Sure.
It could be a passive read or something.
But that's the way it's done in France right now today. And France is the number one country in this world in terms of medical statistics, birth and death rates. I mean, infant mortality, and length of life. When we are way at the bottom.
Kathy, how did you first get interested in this? Was it... Did John bring it to your attention, or did you bring
it
to
John? No, I brought
it
to his attention.
Okay.
I have known about it for, I don't know, maybe 5 or 6 years. I forget how it all first started, but I've known about Mary Fellbloom and have had some contact. John and I both went to the statewide meeting in Albuquerque on November 19. I had been to a previous meeting, I believe, so I've been in touch. I've been on their email list, and it has just made so much sense to me. When I was a practicing pediatrician, so much effort and time went into, getting prior authorizations. Well, that medicine isn't authorized. We have to find another one, and we hire nurses and all kinds of people to help with these processes, and it detracts from patient care majorly. So I've thought for a long time, if this could become a reality, it could be fabulous.
From what you know, what is anticipated as a possibility in the current legislature? Are they actually getting close to some movement on the New Mexico Health Security Act?
Hopefully, yes. At the statewide meeting in November, There were several New Mexico Democratic congresspeople who were very excited about it. In the past, the people who were very much in favor of strong insurance companies have blocked this. It's very much a nonpartisan effort, but to change the role of the insurance companies this drastically is a big thing, and it's going to take a lot of work to make it work well.
I think that the plus side for business owners is that if all of their employees are covered by the New Mexico Health Security Act, then workman's comp may go away. The medical portion of the vehicle insurances that they own go away. So it's sort of a transfer. Of course, somebody's got to pay for all of this, and we could get to that later.
Well, obviously there is a savings from the fact that there wouldn't be the medical aspect on the auto insurance.
Yes.
And things of that sort.
Yes.
Beyond that, how would the money be gathered?
Well, there are premiums, and there's a lower level and an upper level. So state residents would be billed to pay premiums. And I must say that the reason it's very important to have everybody in the pot is that the well people sort of pay for the sick people. And I must say that that's the biggest problem in this country, is that nationally we have not agreed that healthcare is a right. It's still debated. And there is a portion of the population that thinks, if I have to pay for his healthcare, then you're transferring wealth away from me. Most of the other countries in the world feel that it is a right, and in terms of healthcare, we are all equal. And when we become sick, we are all equal. So back to the original question, there would be a lower limit where people don't need to pay. There would be a cap. Employers would have some premiums to pay. There hopefully could obtain money that normally comes through Medicare and Medicaid that could be applied to this. And Mary Feldblum is talking about getting grants for the initial studies, which might be another topic of what would happen if this thing would pass.
And, of course, this issue of getting everyone signed on has been a major stumbling block in the Affordable Health Care Act. There have been certainly GOP that have pointed to this as one reason why they want to get rid of it, that health insurance should be completely optional and an elective. So how do we ensure that everyone is automatically signed up? If it's voluntary, if people have to make the choice to sign up, that's not going to happen.
No, and Mary says this would be automatic. You live in New Mexico, you are covered, period.
And if you go down the line and say you're not going to have any pre-existing conditions, then you have to have everybody in the pool to make it work. And pre-existing conditions are huge. So many people with disabilities and cancer and so on that have been driven into the poorhouse because of their medical costs, that would go away. And it's important to get this idea that it really needs to be a right of citizenship.
And again, if I'm trying to picture this, as someone who pays taxes, would my state-level fees or taxes or other things simply be used as a basis for pulling off or directing portions of what I pay toward this? In other words, there won't be a separate fee that I pay?
There would be a premium.
You will have a premium.
You will be charged a premium.
You would have a premium, but For example, if your hours are cut in your job and you go from full-time to half-time, mm-hmm. your premium will be reduced proportionately. I mean, to me, that's huge.
And you wouldn't be, you would be paying the state insurance premium, and there wouldn't be a commercial premium.
But for this to work, wouldn't it be automatically withdrawn from your pay? You wouldn't have a choice about whether to pay it as you might an insurance premium?
I can't. Those are details.
Those are the things that are going to be asked.
Right.
And that's been the big stumbling block. If people aren't paying their bills, if people get a bill and they're not paying it, then what happens?
Right. Yeah, I read a book about how this works in other progressive countries. And on that particular issue, let's say you haven't paid your bill and then you get sick, you go to the hospital, but the hospital bill is yours until you pay your back premiums. And then the premiums suddenly, very quickly, get paid up because a hospital bill may be $20,000 and his past premiums may be a very small part of that.
Health care and health insurance has been such a controversial issue. In the United States in particular, there seems to be such resistance to the idea of anything that suggests that there will be a socialized aspect to it.
Well, we have to be very careful of that socialization word, because in this country, our country, the Veterans Administration is socialized, the Indian Health Service is socialized medicine, the medicine for active military, that's socialized. Medicare, in a sense, it is. The most pure socialized medicine is Britain. But the other ones in Germany, France, the government controls the costs, but the providers and the hospitals are privately owned. And that's not socialized.
So what are the next steps? How actively do individuals, such as everyone in this room, have to be in advocating for a New Mexico Health Security Act in order for that to happen?
Well, there have been, across the New Mexico, I think Mary has said over 150 different organizations that have signed on in support of this. Again, very bipartisan. The conservative community of Roswell has signed on, certain counties. Mary is working very hard across the state, talking to the Chamber of Commerce here in Gallup, talking to our hospital CEO, trying to get support, for example, possibly of the Rural Hospital Association. The New Mexico Hospital Association is leery because of the changes to insurance, but the rural hospitals are the ones that are really suffering. So the more people can know about it and become excited, support it, spread the word, that's going to make a difference.
And again, if we look at a future in which the New Mexico Security Act becomes the law and is in place, if other states base their statewide health insurance or health care models on this, or Massachusetts or others, could there come a time when so many states are doing this that any nationwide legislation would be a moot act?
That would be my dream.
Yes, and this one has been studied for 20 years and tweaked and tweaked and tweaked, and it's probably one of the most responsible health security acts on the scene. I would like to put in that what the bill says is that if it's passed, then the first 2 or 3 years, there would be a study, a mandated study, to see whether financially it would work. Now, they've done 2 studies before, and they think those studies show that they could save billions of dollars. But the reason why a bill needs to be passed is because if a study is done, so often legislatures can say, oh, let's just file that. Well, this would paint them into the corner and say, if the study shows that this is positive, that we can really save a lot of money, then we need to go ahead with it.
If any listeners are interested in finding out more about the New Mexico Health Security Act or the New Mexico Health Security Campaign, which is basically the organization pushing this concept at the legislature. The website that you would go to is nmhealthsecurity.org. If you have questions and you don't have internet access, you could even call Mary Feldblum's office. That's 505-897-1803. Or if you're not sure what you heard, you can always contact KGLP and we can help you out. Is there anything else that you can think of that you would like KGLP listeners to consider as these discussions about the New Mexico Health Security Act move forward?
In the picture as it's presented, from a physician's point of view, this would free up physicians' time and effort to do what physicians want to do, and that is take care of patients, and not be secretaries and insurance form filler outers. And that is a big deal, because we are losing physicians who are retiring early and people who are not going into medicine because of this onslaught of clerical requirements. And this would make practicing medicine more attractive. It also might bring people from the other states to New Mexico to help solve our physician shortage problem, saying, hey, if I go to New Mexico, I don't have to deal with all this. I just put the patient's card in and it's done.
The reduction in bureaucracy could be a very major selling point for
yes.
any health provider.
Exactly.
Huge.
I look forward to hearing more about this. Perhaps this year we'll see some movement. Certainly the discussions on the national level may push New Mexico legislators to accelerate their movement in getting this started.
Certainly.
Yes, and people can watch what's happening in the legislature. I'm sure there's going to be days where they might, if they were so interested, want to go to Santa Fe and support it in person. A crowd of people in the room saying, we want this, could make a big difference. So there's a lot of different ways, I think, to support it.
One of the concepts that was discussed nationally as an alternative to Affordable Care Act and other things was just to adopt Medicare as a model nationally. How different would that look compared with this concept of the New Mexico Health Security Act?
Medicare for everybody would be a possibility. Certainly, Medicare's cost is somewhere between 3 and 5% of the healthcare dollar. Currently, we are paying 17 to 20% of our healthcare dollar, and much of that is for insurance overhead. The other countries of the world, it's about 5%, and so there are huge savings. Even if we went to Medicare. Medicare has its problems. Medicare is extremely complicated, but it is a structure there that's already there and working, and it would be the easiest thing to do would be to expand it.
Well, potentially, although I love the way Mary Feldblum describes this plan as smothered in red and green chili. It's made kind of the flavor of New Mexico for a small state in which this would be much more possible than it's a type of a cooperative plan that might not work as well nationally. So to me, that's one of the things that's exciting about it.
So again, if you're looking at different options, the New Mexico Health Security Act, this approach looks more favorable to you as health providers, as physicians,
yes.
than everything else that you've looked at so far?
Yes. Yes, definitely.
It's a work in progress. And one of the beauties of this is that if it's New Mexico homegrown thing, we are much closer to the people that are controlling it than way off in Washington where we have to compete with 49 other states. That means that we have a bigger voice.
We hear about the aspects of the ACA that allow children up to the age of, I think, 26 to be allowed insurance under their parents' plan. With the New Mexico Health Security Act, this wouldn't be an issue anymore, would it?
No.
Cradle to grave.
Again, if anyone has any questions on the New Mexico Health Security Campaign or New Mexico Health Security Act, you can visit the website online, nmhealthsecurity.org, or if you don't have internet, you can call Mary Feldblum at 505- 1803. Aside from that, as physicians who have practiced in the Gallup area for a number of years?
About 30 years.
35.
What brought you to Gallup in the first place, and why did you stay?
Kathy and I were married in medical school, and we came out to Rehoboth Mission and served as medical student externs under John Camps. And we fell in love with the place, and this was a place where we could serve. And they kept track of us for the next 10 years, and after we had finished our specialty training, myself as an ophthalmologist and Kathy as a pediatrician, those specialties were needed, and we came back, and we felt needed. In Gallup, we held hands with the other practitioners. Everybody's trying to do a job. In other bigger cities, there's competition and turf wars and all that kind of nonsense. Here, we're taking care of people, and that's what we wanted to do. And it's a glorious place to live.
Yes.
Well, I've been speaking with John and Kathy Mezoff, who are longtime physicians in the Gallup area, talking about the New Mexico Health Security Act. Thank you so much.
You're welcome.